Welcome to the Biohacking Superhuman Performance Podcast. My name is Natalie Nidham. I'm a nutritionist, a human potential and epigenetic coach, and I created this podcast to bring you the latest ways to take control of your health and longevity. We cover it all, from new technology to ancestral health practices, personalized interventions, and a very special interest of mine, peptides. Enjoy the show.
Hey folks, welcome back to the show. We have a phenomenal episode for you today with the girlfriend doctor, Dr. Anna Kabeca. And one of the things that she said in the podcast that so stuck with me was when she talked about not talking about hormone replacement, but hormone replenishment, which I think, you know, it's just a tiny nuance, but it makes a real difference in her approach to hormones and aging. So before we jump into that, of course, the first thing I want to do is thank you so much for being here and to tell you how much I appreciate you, and also to invite you to, if you get value from this episode and you know anybody else who would, share it with your friends, your family, your network, anybody else who you think would enjoy it. And secondly, if you would be willing to take 2 minutes, maybe 1 minute of your time and leave us a review on whatever platform you're listening to the podcast on, because that is ultimately how we grow and reach more people and get amazing guests like the lineup that we've had for now over 220 episodes. I can't believe how time has flown. Anyway, it's all thanks to you guys. So big thank you and shout out to you for allowing me to do what I do, which is what I love. Now, before we really dive into the episode, there are a couple of sponsors who allow us to also bring this show to life that we would like to thank. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is how, you know, as a certified holistic nutritionist, I'm continually so excited about recent research on groups of plant-derived ingredients that can help us age so much better. So if you're over 30, you're going to want to listen to this. Research is suggesting that a big contributor to poor aging are senescent cells, which you may have heard as spoken as zombie cells. Now, these are old, worn out cells that can linger in your body after they've kind of stopped being useful. They waste your energy. They waste nutritional resources. Plus, they might even convince other adjacent cells to become senescent as well. So as we age, senescent cells often accumulate in our bodies, contributing to sluggish energy, less flexibility, slower workout recovery, or simply put, kind of that middle-aged feeling. But in the last 10 years, research has identified plant-derived ingredients which can actually help our bodies naturally eliminate senescent cells. These ingredients are called senolytics. And the easiest way to get complete senolytic support is through a formula that I love called Qualia Senolytic. Now, remember that each one of these ingredients on their own might be effective, it might not, but really the magic is in the combination of ingredients. So this product is almost like a monthly cleanse for aging. You take Qualia Senolytic just 2 days a month, and it is loaded with science-backed vegan senolytic ingredients that help your body naturally eliminate senescent cells. It can literally help your body feel 10 years younger in, for some people, as few as just a couple of months. I do this the last two days of every month, so I don't forget. Now, all you have to do to get your hands on some is go to neurohacker.com/Natalie, and that's Natalie with an H, N-A-T-H-A-L-I-E, to try Qualia Senolytic with a 100-day money-back guarantee. And make sure to use code Natalie with an H, N-A-T-H-A-L-I-E, which will get you 15% off your first order. Okay. So once again, that's neurohacker.com/Natalie for Qualia Senolytic. And don't forget that code Natalie for 15% off to age better. Okay. So if you're struggling with a hormonal imbalance, the thing you don't want to do is just blindly throw more hormones on top of them to try and fix them. And in this episode of the Biohacking Superhuman Performance Podcast, I speak with Dr. Anna Kabeca about how all of the different things that can affect your hormones, including environmental toxins and stress, which can really wreak havoc on your hormones, leading to issues like if you're still cycling, irregular periods, and feeling just generally kind of crummy. But we know, and she talks about how it can take a lot more than hormones to fix hormones. And the good news is that you can improve your hormonal health and even reverse some of these issues naturally. We explore the importance of detoxification to eliminate those toxins and support your body's natural systems. Dr. Gobeka also highlights that birth control pills, which have been in the news lately, you guys, like there was a big kerfuffle in the Washington Post recently, with people really speaking out against that article. And here, Dr. Gobeka is talking about, she's kind of shining light on how birth control pills could very well be contributing to hormonal imbalances due to their synthetic ingredients. But, you know, to age and feel great, hormones are really just one piece of the puzzle. And in this episode, we emphasize the importance of a holistic approach that includes diet, stress management, even creating a more alkaline environment in your body to improve mood and mental well-being. We even dive into the power of oxytocin, the love hormone, and how healthy activities can naturally boost your oxytocin levels. So overall, this episode is going to provide you with great guidance on balancing hormonal health, whether you're pre, peri, or even post-menopause. So Dr. Anna Kabeka is an OBGYN, and she is the best-selling author of The Hormone Fix, Keto Green 16, and Menu Pause. She's a triple board certified and a fellow of gynecology and obstetrics, integrative medicine, and anti-aging, and regenerative medicine. And as I said earlier, she is known as the girlfriend doctor. And there's lots of good reasons for that. She really, truly is a wonderful woman. And I really enjoyed my conversation with her. You can find out more about Dr. Anna Kabeka on her website, which is Dr. Anna Kabeka, and doctor is just dr.com. On Instagram, she is the girlfriend doctor. And she's also got a group on Instagram, which is the Girlfriend Doctor Clubhouse. She also hosts an amazing podcast called The Girlfriend Doctor with Dr. Anna Kabeka. To learn more about The Hormone Fix, you can go to drannakabeka.com/products/the-hormone-fix. Okay, one more sponsor to thank before we move on. Look, I know we're starting to come out of the winter months, but don't let up on your immune system support just yet. People are getting sick everywhere. And one of my favorite supplements to support immunity is Body Bio's liposomal vitamin C. Lipo-C is a high-quality, pure vitamin C encased in true liposomes for special delivery straight to your cells. So what I love about this is that nothing is wasted. Whereas you'll typically excrete a lot of regular vitamin C supplement, liposomal C gets into your cells where it can benefit you the most. Not to mention the fact that you get the most bang for your buck. And we know that if you take too much regular vitamin C, it might just send you running to the bathroom, whereas with liposomal C, we can really, really crank up those dosages. So for those of us who suffer from seasonal allergies right around the corner, guess what? Body Bio liposomal vitamin C also could be a game changer to support a healthy immune response. So to place your first order, beat the rush, and save 15%, head over to bodybio.com and make sure to use code Natalie, N-A-T-H-A-L-I-E, at checkout to save the 15%. And now let's dive in with Dr. Anna Kabeka.
Hey folks, just a quick reminder that all of the information presented in this podcast is for information purposes only. No medical advice, no diagnosing, no treatments suggested here. Before you try anything that you hear about or learn about here, make sure that you check with your medical provider.
Dr. Anna Kabeka, welcome to the show. It is such a pleasure and an honor to have you here today.
Well, it is great to be here with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I was so excited to meet you in person where were we? Oh yeah, in Denver or Colorado, Boulder. That's where we were, in Boulder last November. I was like, yes, okay, I finally get to talk to her. So because you are the girlfriend doctor, and I don't know who came up with that, if it was you or someone else, but it is genius because that is exactly your voice, right?
Oh, thank you.
And it's so rare. I mean, you know, unfortunately, the medical profession takes a real beating in this space, and I don't think it's always warranted. I mean, I actually know it's not always warranted. The problem is that, you know, the profession itself is being governed in such a way that is very disabling to physicians, but it's always so inspiring to see those of you who have the resources and the ability and the presence to kind of break out of that mold and really practice medicine in the way that you believe, and I can tell you, needs to happen.
Well, I agree. And it's also going through my own journey. But the girlfriend doctor actually came from Sherry Salata, who was the executive producer for Oprah. And she would interview me on her podcast with Nancy Holla called This Is 50. Uh-huh. And she's like, you're the girlfriend doctor. So that's how that name came about and how it stuck. And I've enjoyed that relationship because I think that's the conversations I want to have without having the white coat syndrome, you know, mm-hmm. without having the fear of what's the diagnosis going to be. As you know, in clinical practice, I see patients from really all over the world, and there's always that kind of, you know, initial apprehension. And it, you know, especially following up labs and an extreme mm-hmm. sense of labs, or something doesn't feel right in your body and you're concerned and you have that fear, please, you know, like, oh God, please don't let there be anything terrible. What's the diagnosis, right? Yeah. And so being able to really create comfort and that conversation helps me to get to the root issues that are causing the symptoms and the problem and the disconnect with our body to begin with.
100%. And I think you're touching on something when you say that I think too many people don't put enough importance on. And that is that so often either the cause or major contributor to a lot of the physical issues that we express aren't necessarily physical. They're not going to show up in a lab report. They're going to show up out of a conversation and out of having the luxury of time to sit with your patient and your patient to sit with you to talk about what's happening in their lives. And maybe we can start there. Maybe we can talk about, you know, how you're seeing in clinical practice, how people's environment, their life, the what's going on in their life will show up in their labs and really can affect how they feel and how they're able to recover from things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think when it starts with, you know, having the conversation and really digging into the history a little bit, like what are triggers? When did you last feel well? You know, like what has your, you know, life looked like? Have you been on many many years of birth control pills, many, you know, cycles of antibiotics? Have you had exposure? And I think about, especially when I see, you know, chronic fatigue mm-hmm. and cancers in young people, I would say in the 40s and younger. And when I see this, there's a long history of environmental toxins that have gone unidentified for the most part. And then stress and trauma. I have a very dear colleague and just incredible physician colleague who was just diagnosed with a breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, I said, you know, you do everything, you know, you've been doing everything right. I mean, you know, your food and your nature walks and your circadian rhythm and supporting your adrenal glands. And she goes, you know, she said, I was really burnt out for a long time. And it forced me to learn this stuff. But ultimately, the habit of putting everyone else first and not taking care of myself is the culprit here.
Yeah.
And that so resonated with me, you know, here she, you know, she's struggling with a cancer she shouldn't have to be struggling with. Right. And like this, just, you know, when you see someone who's so healthy and, you know, vibrant and careful and to be diagnosed with cancer and then that message, look, you know, I wasn't really taking care of myself like I should have been.
Yeah. That's sobering. You know,
mm-hmm, very sobering.
It's sobering because, you know, one of the things, another thing that I think we don't put enough stock in is that what's showing up today has been building for a very long time. And so it's never too late to start doing things well and doing things better. But understanding that it's, you know, we are going to be the outcome of decades of practice. And so taking those steps to rectify and right the ship, it's not enough just to change and do things better, but sometimes you have to rebalance things. There's active things that have to be done to actually, you know, restore an equilibrium that was lost. Yeah. So what are some of the things that you think we're missing? You know, when we're trying to, like, let's say we look back on a, and this is nowhere near where I thought this interview was going to go, but let's just go with this flow here. But you get a patient that comes in and, you know, she stopped taking birth control 20 years ago, but she took birth control for most of her adult life.
And, you know, stress being what it is, well, it's our constant companion these days for any number of reasons. And the exposures are, the exposure question is very interesting, right? Because obviously there's going to be the obvious things like people who work in jobs where they're exposed to certain toxins. I remember when I was in school, one of the case studies we were given, and this person, they worked with, I think they were a jewelry maker or something. And it turns out that they were inhaling dust from metals. And so they had heavy metal poisoning. Like, and it can be stuff that you wouldn't even imagine, right? But so what are the steps that people can be taking in, you know, now that they're fixing their lifestyle and they're like, okay, I got it. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to get out, and all the things that you just listed. But we need to somehow have a strategy for mitigating the negatives of all the other things we've been exposed to in our lives. Do you do that?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it comes to, I usually give the example, like our cells have become sticky. Our cells have become sticky and irritated and porous, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not like this great boundaries. And we can take this at the micro level all the way to the macro level. How good are your boundaries in general? Mm-hmm. How good are you in your boundaries in looking at your social media? How good are your boundaries in toxic inputs and toxic relationships? How good are your boundaries there in the large scheme of things, as well as in the small at the cellular level? And so I had a patient in my office just last week, and she's a young 42-year-old client, wants to preserve fertility and is having all these inflammatory issues going on. She's ideal body weight, works out as part of a regular routine, focuses on eating whole foods, so really good. But she had 15 years of birth control pills, and she was a swimmer from early childhood through college and into the master's program, swimming in chlorinated pools. Mm-hmm. And so, like, okay, so right away, I'm like, I see these big red flags as far as toxicity. We've got the environment, we've got the synthetic progestin components of the birth control pills and suppression of ovarian hormones and natural HPA axis cycling. So we have that, number one. And number two, we have chlorine exposure, which chlorine will compete with iodine receptors. And so you end up becoming, you have iodine insufficiency typically, along with hormonal insufficiencies, thyroid insufficiencies, and a further disruption in the hypothalamic, pituitary, adrenal, gonadal, and thyroid axis. So you get this kind of hormonal disruption. So, you know, first steps, and I have them do, like in my book, The Hormone Fix, I like to say that's mandatory reading for all my patients. I want them to go through and do the questionnaires. Eventually, we're going to do all those lab tests over time and just look at those things. But the questionnaire, so her toxicity questionnaire level was really, really high, like 80, was very, very, I don't like it greater than 10. And again, she's fit. She's athletic, but she's been dealing with so many symptoms. She didn't even realize because they've just been building up over time. And I often tell my patients, you don't realize how bad you've been feeling until you start feeling good again.
I say that all the time.
Yes.
Like you don't realize, because we normalize feeling crummy.
True. Absolutely. And we're so like powerful and dedicated and disciplined that we power through it, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So we power through it. And so, you know, had that great discussion with her and I said, okay, you know, I start them on my hormone detox, which is my keto green 10-day detox and the hormone fix. And I supplement, if your toxicity score is over 10, I supplement absolutely with Mighty Maca Plus, which is my green superfood combination, which has detoxifiers as well as adaptogens in it to help support your body. So I start with typically one scoop once to twice a day. And then I add an additional detoxification support for liver detox support for phase one and phase two metabolism to help our body release more toxins and eliminate them safely, especially when we're even focusing on further cleaning up our diet, and then put them through, you know, a dietary regimen. I start with my 10-day hormone detox. Then I go into the keto green 16 detox with extended fasting intervals for that short period of time. And typically they'll come back in for the 4 to 6 week follow-up and review of additional lab work or anything. And they'd be like, Dr. Anna, I didn't realize how bad I was feeling till I started feeling good again.
Yeah.
No, it's phenomenal. So in terms of the chlorine exposure is so interesting. I had a client this year. I mean, she wasn't actually so much a client as she came to a retreat that I was hosting. And she's this gorgeous young woman. And she said to me, you know, I need help. Like, she had put on an insane amount of weight. Like, I can't remember, it was 30 or 60 pounds over 3 months. Like, either number is jaw dropping, honestly. Like, it's a ton of weight to put on. And she had not been able to move it. And so we're talking, and all of a sudden we're talking about what she does. And she works with people, this beautiful modality of working on people's emotions and body work in the water. And so she's in pools 8 hours a day. And I was like, and I'm sitting there going, could it be that simple? Like, could it possibly be the chlorine that's just like trashed any semblance of function from your thyroid whatsoever? And, you know, we looked into it, and it turns out that, I mean, it's not fixed yet, because we're talking about years of exposure here, uh-huh. but that chlorine thing, people really dismiss it. Like, and it's a toxin.
And it's in our water. I mean, it's in our showers. So we have to recognize too, among other chemicals, that shower, you know, filters, our bathroom water filters, our, you know, the tub filter, you know, water purifiers, all of that really does make a difference. I mean, you think about toxicity, one of the analyses done, and I write about this in the Hormone Fix, and environmental toxins in water. And in Michigan, the study of the water, it was high in lead. And a pediatrician would hear her patient say, you know, the child will be in the tub and their skin is really red afterwards, just where they were exposed to the water, you know, like that was really significantly red. And so they did water studies and were really high in lead. And so, and also lead creates mental fragility and irritability and anger and mood instability. So high, you know, associated with areas of high crime rate with lead exposure to the water in the water. So that's something really important to pay attention to. So whether it comes with chlorine, we can supplement with iodine. And what I tell my swimmers that aren't going to stop swimming, I mean, it's a great sport, is to use like a light sesame oil on your skin before you go in, rinse off really well after, chlorine exposure, and try to get a salt water system if possible. Yeah.
Although even the salt water systems, they use bromine, right? Which is, it's not as strong as the chlorine, but it's not, it's, you know.
But still, that's going to push out iodine too.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, salt water, like an actual salt water. But most people don't have access to that. So the sesame oil before swimming, that's really interesting. I had heard vitamin C, but I guess any, like, you're looking for a barrier, basically something that's going to establish a barrier so that your organ being your skin being your largest organ of absorption, which we so often forget. So that's really interesting. Okay. So the Hormone Fix book, required reading for all, yours truly included here. So how about detoxifying from the pill? From birth control, I do, you know, again, like, there's the birth control pill, there's IUDs, there's the IUDs that secrete, is it copper?
Progestin.
The copper IUDs, and then progestin. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, like, so with copper IUDs, my favorite is just watch your zinc levels. Make sure you supplement with zinc. And I think you're pretty well covered unless you have something like Wilson's disease, which is a you know, accumulation of copper in your system. So something to pay attention to, but very, I mean, I had one case of that in my entire career, but still one case. So Wilson's syndrome, I believe, Wilson's disease.
Yeah, it is Wilson's. Yeah.
And so, but like, I much prefer it over the progestin insertion IUD. So one thing also, again, with this swimmer that I'm seeing, she has dysfunctional bleeding basically since she started her periods. And that's why, and she's been a swimmer since a young age. And so, like, working with her, so this part of detox supplements, detoxification support, the same thing with the birth control. I mean, you want to make sure you've got good levels of red blood cell magnesium, methylated B vitamins. So I check for those things too. So I've increased her magnesium, increased her B vitamins to support her in this way. And using bioidentical progesterone, I actually had to go up on the number, but this is the first cycle off birth control pills that she had that was completely normal, completely healthy. And she, because she'd always have irregular spotting, bleeding, mid cycles, et cetera. So I was really excited to see just, you know, that in such a short amount of time, she was able to get such a significant improvement. So all of these things do help. And yeah, it can, you turn it around very, very quickly, no matter how long you've been on some of these toxic agents or have had this toxic exposure.
Well, and to have a normal cycle at 42 is a pretty exciting thing, because at 42, most women at this point are a train wreck. They don't know what's going on, what's happening. They're, you know, if their doctor hasn't done the training, they're like, oh yeah. I mean, I got told by my doctor back in the day, you know, because I'm like, well, you know, I used to be regular like clockwork. I never used to really have that bad cramps, blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, I'm, you know, my husband starts asking me questions and, you know, kind of walking carefully around me at certain times of the month. And I'm ready to take his head off if he even mentions it. And she looked at me and she smiled and she said, yeah, welcome to perimenopause. Get used to it.
Oh my goodness. I always say, if you only hate your husband 2 weeks of the month, it's your hormones and not necessarily your husband, right?
No. He was like, no, I mean, the poor guy, like I'd be spinning out about something and he'd be like, so where are you in your cycle exactly? He'd try to be so cautious.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. And it's so like, you know, with like giving your body the right support, all those symptoms go away. I mean, I've seen it now. I mean, you know, went through my own early menopause when I was 39. I'll be 58 this year. So like a long time ago, right? I've had a lot of experience with this in my own experience. I'm reversing early menopause, having a child after failing infertility and then being diagnosed with premature menopause and irreversible infertility. So, you know, changed those diagnoses around. So in my 40s, had my daughter, Ava Marie. And then in 48, like feeling all those symptoms that you just described, right? That irritability, the mood swings, I had tremendous brain fog. I had trouble getting from my mind to the paper. And again, I reverse that with what I write about in my books. And again, it takes more than hormones to fix your hormones, dialing those in, but also the detoxification support, the adrenal support, the dietary support, the importance of alkalinization for our mental health and mood and all of that good stuff. And since I've written 3 best-selling books, so it works, you guys.
It works. So let's talk about this, because, you know, I feel like out in the world right now, in certain circles, it's like, go get your hormones checked and get on hormone therapy, right? And which is great. But you bring up a really important point, and that is that just throwing hormones into a body that is dysregulated, that's not able to clear toxins properly, that's kind of fighting for control. That's because that's really what's happening, right? You've got these heaves and hoes happening, like hormones are not in balance and you're not able to get rid of what you need to get rid of when you need to get rid of it. You're lacking cofactors, which is where our B vitamins and all those things come into play. And so just throwing hormones in there is not necessarily going to help. And actually, you know, it's so interesting you say that, because my mom, I talked to my mom, I'm like, did you even try hormone therapy? And she said, oh yeah, I tried that estrogen stuff, made me fat, never touched it again. I'm like, okay, wait, no. Wait, there's so much more to the whole thing, because you read about, you know, how important estrogen is for our bones and for our brain and for skin, for all the things. And yet people have like one bad experience and they go running for the hills. So maybe as a gentle intro, can we dig a little bit into some of the stuff you write in your book? Like, clearly, ladies, if you're listening to this, and men, if you're listening to this, buy the book. Give it to the women in your life. Ladies, buy it for yourself, buy it for your girlfriends, and go through the book. But can you maybe expand a little bit on what the basic premise is that women can do before they even turn to hormone therapy?
Yeah, definitely. It's detoxification. It is, like, when I think about adrenal support and detoxification, how important that is. So it's, and again, you know, working with women for, you know what, 30 years now in clinical practice, and my early exposure to bioidentical hormones in 1999. So we've been doing this a long time. And I did, there was a time where like the pendulum swings from too little to too much to, okay, let's find that Goldilocks space, right? Let's find where it's just right. but recognizing that I never want to suppress a body's own ability to create hormones. So I like to not say that I'm replacing your hormones. Like, I don't want to replace your hormones. I want to replenish your hormones. So what I do in an educational class that I offer health providers is a certification program, the hormone replenishment certification program, because you've got to learn that it's not just, like you said, Natalie, it's not just about here's this prescription and I'll see you soon. I wish it was that easy. Oh my God. It would be so nice. But like, here, let's detox your body. Let's keep your body preparing and using as much of its own natural hormone as long as possible. That's associated with longevity. High doses of hormones are not, at this point that we know of, associated with any increasing length of longevity. I mean, we're experimenting in this generation. So we want to create, and like, again, back to my swimmer that I talked about, is so working with her to improve because her testosterone's suppressed, her DHEA suppressed, her progesterone's really suppressed, but her estrogen, she's estrogen dominant there. She's got toxic levels of estrogen. So we want to clear those high estrogen. So again, using detoxification support, using Mighty Maca Plus, I may add some calcium deglucarate, which is a great hormone detoxifier, estrogen detoxifier. Additionally, so that can be very supportive. I'm going to increase the Mighty Maca because in clinical studies with Mighty Maca, we've seen a 70 to 200% increase in DHEA in just 2 months of use using 2 to 3 scoops per day. There's no other adrenal protocol that I can give you that does that. I'll add additional vitamin C to support adrenals, make sure I optimize her vitamin D level. And so all of that kind of comes into play. Vitamin D and iodine are important at our hormone receptors and for hormone receptors to work. Vitamin D specifically for oxytocin, the hormone of love, bonding, and connection to work. And we don't even think about that. And like until, you know, this really these last few years, did physicians in general start measuring vitamin D levels. Mm-hmm. And for those of us who started earlier, like even in 2010, I got slapped on the wrist by insurance companies for measuring vitamin D levels and repeating those measurements without a hypovitaminosis D. So, I mean, really terrible, like when you're dealing with insurance companies, it's the mafia. And, you know, you don't like a middleman in between you and your lover, you and your, you know, you don't want a middleman between you guys. You don't want a middleman between you and your physician. No. So unfortunately, insurance companies really do affect our modern prescribers that way, our modern physicians that way. So vitamin D, again, important for every hormone receptor to work. And I'll see executive physician, you know, people who have had executive physicals come in and still be not optimal in vitamin D and iodine. So things to pay attention to because our hormones won't work really well without them. And so we work on that too. So that piece, detoxification, cleaning up your diet, whole foods, avoid the estrogen mimickers, and then the detoxification. What are we washing our dishes in? And this was a surprise, Natalie. So I got to have a mommy moment here.
All right. Bring it.
I have my daughter, Amanda, who has my granddaughter, Andalisa. So I'm really a happy grandma, and I did deliver her. So really glad to have that experience.
What an experience. Wow.
Just in a birthing center in the middle of COVID. So without any medication, my daughter is just, she's just amazing. So the most beautiful experience in my life and delivery in my life as I've delivered over 500 babies. So all that to say that Amanda, you know, they were staying with me for a little bit and then she, I said, Amanda, we're out of dishwashing detergent. She went to the store to get some and she just went to the local, you know, the closest place. And she comes back with Cascade. And I'm like, hell no, am I washing our dishes in this? And she goes, Mom, that's all they had. And I said, well, there's no way. It's going to leave a film on our dishes and then you're going to consume that. It's going to leave a film on the baby bottles and Andy's going to consume that. And, you know, it's full of chemical disruptors. And she goes, no, it rinses out. You put the extra rinse cycle on. I'm like, no. I said, here, let's do this experiment. Because actually my cousin, Andre Sweden, who's a sommelier, he taught me this. He said, here's a cleaned glass of wine, a clean wine glass, cleaned in water, cleaned and dried and all that, really nicely cleaned. And here's one just from, you know, the bar cleaning detergent thing. And And he said, okay, try the wine in both of these glasses. And you can test, you can taste the chemicals. Yeah. And so it really opened my eyes when you have that side by side, how much of a residue, how many toxins we're getting from, you know, our cleaning detergent.
That's so unbelievable. Yeah. I never heard of that. And you know what's interesting? Sometimes you fill a glass with water and there's bubbles.
Ugh.
Right? Like there's actual bubbles. I mean, I'm a total freak about the cleaning products in my house, and people get mad. My husband's like, well, the dishwasher doesn't work properly because we're only using that environmental stuff. I'm like, don't care. Tell somebody who cares. I don't care. Wash them by hand.
That's right. That's right. Or, you know, just again, a very clean and dishwashing detergent, you know, that you can get. And I'm trying to remember the company that I like, Truly Free. Truly mm-hmm. Free is a great company to get cleaning stuff, laundry detergent, what we're washing our clothes in. And I see a lot of women with lichen sclerosis or vulvodynia, like vulvar skin issues because of pads and detergents and synthetic materials that are in contact to the vulva, which naturally is very vascular because it has to, and the vulvar and vaginal area has to expand for childbirth. So there's a lot of blood vessels. And so that's an absorption. Like you said, the skin, the largest absorbing organ. And so there's a lot of chemical exposure that is direct contact causing disruption to the pelvic floor and perineum. So I'm very particular about clean ingredients in, you know, in my creams and my lotions and the products I create because of that contact issue, that dermatitis, that, you know, or vaginal itching that can occur.
Hey folks, it's me again. How many of you want more healthy years? Not just a longer life, but the ability to do the things you love in your 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. I mean, just today, I saw a 94-year-old lady skydiving on Instagram. Like, can you believe that? Skydiving. So Inside Tracker can help you optimize your health span so that you live healthier for longer. They do this by providing personalized plans based on your body's data. Inside Tracker tests your blood, DNA, and can even sync with your fitness tracker and then provide clear science-backed recommendations like on your nutrition, your exercise regimen, supplements, and lifestyle recommendations. I've recently done the Inside Tracker test and I love it. It's helped me to really dial in when to have a rest day to improve recovery and has helped me to know if I'm fueling my body properly and what changes I might have to make to my supplementation, for example. Now, Inside Tracker also recently added hormone testing to their plan, which already includes important markers like ApoB, the heart health indicator, vitamin D, magnesium, and cortisol. It includes 47 biomarkers. You can also test your DNA and even get your inner age, which is a biological age calculation, along with recommendations on how to lower that inner age if it happens to be a little higher than you'd like it to be. Now, Inside Tracker is running a special deal for Biohacking Superhuman Performance Podcast listeners. All you have to do is go to insidetracker.com and use code NIDDAM, N-I-D-D-A-M, to save 20% on whatever test you choose. Now let's get back to the episode.
We just don't realize it, right? We don't think. We don't think that the manufacturers aren't going to think. I think that, I mean, those of us in this space now know that, you know, it's like you were saying a minute ago with the insurance companies, they have a different objective than you do with your patients, right? Their objective is bottom line, save money. Like that's their objective. So vitamin D3 doesn't rank in bottom line, save money. Whereas with manufacturers of whether it's personal care or soap, detergents, it's, they want something that's going to smell good, that's going to make things, that's going to create a result that people think their clothes are clean, which means they're going to smell good, which ironically is what turns around to bite us half the time. Like those fragrances are half the toxins right there. I've told this story before, actually. I was in the Dominican Republic a couple of months ago and I let the hotel do my my laundry, and the guy brings back my laundry and he was so cute. He was so proud of himself. He holds out the hamper and he goes, smell. And it was crazy. And like I had to re-rinse all of my undergarments because I just knew that if I put that, like I put on a pair of underwear and I could smell it. It's like, okay, there's something really wrong here. So supporting the body's detoxification pathways is paramount. And so much, and the idea of replenishing hormones instead of replacing hormones, I love as a concept, right? Because it also, it's so much more respectful to the body. We're not going to do it for you. We're just going to, we're going to support, we're going to remove the things that are going to need to be removed before we start dumping a whole bunch of stuff in. We're going to allow the body to kick back in. And then based on what shows up, let's see where we need some more help is what I'm hearing from you. So that's great. You mentioned the importance of vitamin D3 for receptors. When you work with vitamin D3 with your patients, do you also, like for me, I'm a bit of a, I'm a real stickler for vitamin K2 with D3, because what I was taught is that vitamin D3 in the absence of vitamin K2 is really it's a very incomplete package, and it leaves the door open to certain, like calcium, not getting to where it needs to go. Are you in that same realm?
Vitamin D3 with K2, because vitamin D says deposit calcium, vitamin K says where. And the last, and one of the things that, again, talking about women's health issues that, you know, goes unmentioned is when you have calcifications on your mammogram. Like how many times do we see benign calcifications on mammogram? The reading is impression normal. And so first of all, as a physician looking at these, you know, oh, great, your mammogram's normal. That's all you need to know. As an integrative or functional physician looking at this, you know, you've got calcifications on evidence of vascular calcifications on the most delicate, you know, vessels. And maybe it's from milk ducts, maybe it's lymphatics, maybe it's blood vessels. I mean, wherever these calcifications are from, they're never going to be like, that's not normal. So let's work on decreasing inflammation, decreasing, calcifications outside of muscle and bone, right? Decrease those calcifications outside of bone predominantly, right? We want to make sure that we have good, healthy bone, right? Nowhere else.
Yeah. And if you're showing calcification in the breast tissue, would you also be potentially be getting calcification in other blood vessels? So
absolutely.
The cardiovascular disease discussion that women don't like to have.
Yeah, when you see it exactly on something as nonspecific and as like as far as poor radiologically as a chest x-ray, you know that they're in the cardiovascular system. So that's when you really want to do a full cardiovascular workup.
Yeah. So what you bring up an interesting point here. What are your thoughts on mammograms? I know like mammograms are super...
Gosh, certain, already certain, because certain. I'm banned on social media and shadow banned, y'all, please follow me at the Girlfriend Doctor. So for talking about controversial things, it really look at the guidance from European Radiographic Society and also the Cancer Society. Is what we know is annual mammograms increase the risk of invasive procedures and increase the risk of breast cancer. So that is well substantiated now. However, another patient I just saw yesterday has been getting annual mammograms since she was 45 and she's 53 now. And she has dense tissues and sometimes she gets ultrasound and sometimes she has to do another mammogram in 6 months. I'm like, what? We're just creating a problem and waiting till we diagnose a breast cancer in this woman. That's how she's being treated, right? And so the increased radiation gives you an increased risk of breast cancer. That is not controversial. Although as I say it.
Yeah.
It's not controversial. That is well substantiated. So, so the key thing is that you want to look at, alternating years that you're doing the mammogram, also doing other things like a breast ultrasound or a full body MRI. I use Pernuvo. I recommend all my, longevity patients and executive patients, anyone who's interested in longevity to do a scan like that, because it can just pick up problems before they become problems. Mm-hmm. So that's a good issue. And then the thermography. Thermography is really a nice breast evaluation. But like a colleague that I mentioned that had diagnosed with breast cancer, she is 53 and she had a negative thermogram and a negative mammogram all with, you know, even with detecting a feeling, a abnormality on her breast.
Really? So wait, so she palpated and felt an abnormality and both those tests came back negative?
Both those tests came back negative. Biopsy was positive.
Wow. So she did a biopsy based, like, so you ordered up a biopsy based on
palpation. Yeah.
Well,
some physical findings.
Heal something. So don't care what the imaging says. There's something there.
Yep. Wow. There's something there.
That's insane. So, but it's good to hear that there are
alternative imaging.
Yeah. Alternative imaging. And I've always heard that ultrasound is better anyway, especially for those of us who have very dense tissue.
And that's another thing, Natalie. So when you have dense tissue, right? Like there's dense tissue on your breast or fibrocystic breast, there's some kind of inflammation and active hormonal changes going on, which is going to increase your risk for disease. So what do you do to get rid of those fibrocystic breasts? So number one, you have to detox, make sure you've got good iodine levels, and you can even apply iodine locally to the breast. Mm-hmm. Can stain your clothes, so be cautious, but you can apply it locally. And gamma linoleic acid, either from black currant oil or evening primrose oil, is another great supplement. So when seeing patients with dense breasts, fibrocystic breasts, breast cysts, even ones I had to operate on and drain periodically, giving them iodine, optimizing their vitamin D and a gamma linoleic acid, GLA, the symptom, they completely went away. And then sometimes we'll add in if they have precursors, like say if they've had Hodgkin's lymphoma and radiation to the chest, or their airline stewardess, a lot of radiation exposure. I'll add in addition to iodine, vitamin C, and I'll use a product by Zymogen called Oncoplex, which is SGS, sulforaphane glycosylate. And it is very breast protective and helps with melanomas, skin cancers as well. So I'll use that supplement as well, preventatively in those patients.
That's amazing. I love that. Oncoplex. And what was the manufacturer?
Zymogen, X-Y-M-O-G-E-N. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a great company, actually. All right. So we've talked about the lead up into menopause. What about on the other side of menopause? You know, our bodies, for the most part, like our ovaries have checked out. They've handed the torch over to the adrenals. They're like, over to you guys. We're done. We've done our thing. In terms of the bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, we seem to have two camps right now. We have people who are all in, and you actually alluded to super physiologic hormone replacement, which I would imagine you're talking about. Are you referring to the Wiley protocol on that one? So this is where women are trying to maintain their hormone levels and actually keep their cycle for well into their 50s and 60s. Is that what you were talking about? Or
no, I don't like to, I'm not a fan of the Wiley protocol for me or my patients. Mm-hmm. So I don't use those higher levels of hormones. I like to, you know, again, there's seasons for a reason. I do like to periodically cycle off of hormones, but so hormone holidays, or, you know, just like you would with a drug holiday or a vitamin holiday, again, that part of the replenishment process, not repressing or replacement process. So with physiologic doses, optimizing doses post-menopause, like perimenopause, that's great. But post-menopause, really like to obtain even keel, steady states of hormones.
And so would you be taking hormone holidays in menopause as well?
Yeah. So something like if you go on vacation, like say you're taking a trip, you're going on vacation, you're going hiking, you know, sometimes it's nice to come off your hormones for 3 to 7 days. And mm-hmm. And just kind of reset the receptor sites and see how you're doing. You're likely, you know, depending on your holiday, you know, you're likely getting, you know, activity, you're getting good food, you're getting sunshine. So things, you know, I mean, it just kind of is a good practice.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Okay, great. So we were going to cherry pick a hormone and have a conversation around it. And I think that what we agreed to was oxytocin, which I think, you know, is one of the great unsung heroes in our hormone orchestra, if you will, symphony in our bodies. And we talked about oxytocin very early in our conversation before the podcast. So maybe let's take a little dive into oxytocin and talk about what are the many things that it does for us.
Yeah. So oxytocin is the hormone of love, bonding, and connection. And I mean, it really is a beautiful hormone. It really is my favorite hormone. In the hormonal hierarchy, it's the most powerful hormone in our body. It's a longevity hormone, an alkaline, where oxytocin is alkalinizing, cortisol, its opposing hormone, is acidic. And so really important to remember, but oxytocin is increased when you're happy, when you have joy, when you're doing something you enjoy doing, and enjoy doing, and people you enjoy doing it with, increases oxytocin. Sex, intimacy, massage, all of that helps. All of that helps.
Yeah. Who is it? Grace Liu talks about, she prescribes her patients to give each other, like couples, to give each other massages for the oxytocin, like 20
Absolutely.
Minutes a day. Like, you know, like even if you're not having sex, just, you know, hug, touch, rub, whatever, for 20 minutes a day as a couple. And she talks a lot about how, you know, we don't think about when we're in a long-term relationship, sometimes you fall out of good habits and how little you hug, how little you might spend, you know, physically close to your partner and appreciating each other. Again, even without the whole sex part.
Yep.
Yep. And so do you prescribe oxytocin to your patients? Like exogenously, or is it?
So mostly it's and I have a chapter on oxytocin and the hormone fix, again, because it is the most powerful hormone in our body. So sometimes I will prescribe oxytocin. And again, it's one of those very powerful hormones. So a little bit depends on your body's ability to receive it. So for some people, and then when I test for oxytocin, I have them do, first of all, an oxytocin quiz, can usually assess if they're very anhedonic, and it's not the first thing I'll prescribe to a patient. Typically, mm-hmm. I need to clean up the system, improve their vitamin D, do all these things that are going to help depending on what they're coming into me for. With oxytocin, important to assess, you know, questionnaire. And there are Meridian Valley Labs will do an oxytocin test. So you can send out for, it's very hard to get oxytocin tested because it's such a volatile hormone. So it doesn't.
Yeah, you don't have like constant, it's like growth hormone. It comes in waves. And
it comes in waves, but plus it's very fragile. Like it has to be flash frozen and submitted frozen to the lab for the most part. There's some wow. urinary studies, I think, that Meridian Valley is doing, which is interesting to be able to look at that too. So, you know, if you do, you want to have a questionnaire before you prescribe, you want to have a questionnaire, plus or minus the blood test or urine test to evaluate. But, and then you can do, and it's something I would do in practice with patients sometimes, is give an injection of oxytocin in the muscle. Now it burns. So you got to mix that with lidocaine, and just a little bit goes a long way, say 10 IUs. And if you see them, you know, flush, like orgasmic flush, flush on the chest, flush around the ears, a big smile on their face. Oh, they definitely need oxytocin. Other people that don't have an oxytocin deficiency or have impaired receptors for oxytocin, you give that same, you know, injection to, and they won't feel anything. So they're not going to benefit from exogenous oxytocin until, you know, you've got to clean up their system. So it's important to recognize. And otherwise, if we prescribe it for sex or for PTSD is where I really find it to be very helpful and powerful. So prescribing it in those ways, a little bit goes a long way also. So I typically will start with 20 IUs either in a nasal spray or in a fast dissolve lozenge or troche, and or sometimes for sexual and orgasm, vaginal oxytocin can help. But again, it's like the first thing I'll give a patient.
Wow. And then have you done much work in looking into oxytocin as an anabolic agent? I remember like that I interviewed someone a couple of years ago and she was talking about oxytocin post-workout can help with building muscle. You're smiling at me.
how interesting. I mean, I did not hear about using it, like pulsing it like that, using it post-workout. Again, because it is a powerful drug and we never want to suppress our body's own ability to make oxytocin. And right. Long-term use, maybe even 3 months continuous, 6 months continuous, can decrease your body's natural ability. I mean, we do that with other hormones, testosterone, you know, and et cetera. And conscientiously, we know we're doing it postmenopausally when there's already insufficient production of hormones potentially, but we never want to, we definitely don't want to do it with oxytocin. So pulsing it periodically, I think, is perfectly okay. But there have been studies out of Berkeley looking at muscle regeneration, even in aged muscle, that oxytocin increases muscle regeneration and growth. So again, happy, healthy, joyous activity increases overall health.
In so many ways. Yeah.
Immune system, we're using it in long haul COVID. Oxytocin has a place potentially in long haul COVID. I've used it in a few of my long haul COVID post-vax injury patients.
So, well, I guess that muscle study definitely speaks to it as a, at least helping with an anabolic. And we know that it's opposing hormone cortisol is catabolic. So it kind of makes sense, right? Okay. So do we want to talk a little bit about what we're seeing in the long haul world these days?
Oh,
that's too controversial.
To further ban me on social media.
We're not banning you. I'll get banned. No. Well, I think that at this stage of the game, there's acknowledgement that long haul COVID is a thing, even in conventional circles, right? So we don't have to talk about some of the other more controversial pieces of the puzzle, let's say. But let's say someone's got COVID and they can't shake it. And there's also been discussion about, you can get long haul symptoms from almost any virus that just your body can't kick. What are some of the things, you know, do you want to talk a little bit about some of the things that you've found to be helpful to help people's system kind of get on top of it? Because it feels like in a long haul situation, this is a situation where the immune system's down and out and it can't get itself back up and going again.
Yeah, definitely. So first thing, again, you want to create resilient cell membranes. You want to improve cellular health. So phosphatidylcholine is one of the supplements. First, detox, decrease inflammation, whole foods, intermittent fasting, working on getting that urine pH alkaline and then bumping into ketosis periodically. So following this right alongside, maca has been shown to help with long haul COVID, as well as turmeric, quercetin, resveratrol. All of those are in Mighty Maca Plus. So my green drink formula somewhere here. So this is that. So there's 30 superfoods. So this is beneficial. And again, adrenal and adaptogenic support and helping your body's natural anti-inflammatory processes by addressing the interleukin and cytokine pathway. So we want that additional support. So that's it. Phosphatidylcholine. And then there's a couple products. You want to increase nitric oxide production. So, you know, that can, again, for cellular repair, mitochondrial health, energy. That's beneficial. And there are several products that do that. There's one called NO. So I can always remember nitric oxide. It's NO. I forget the name of the manufacturer, but it's a good one.
There's Berkeley Life is another one. There's a couple of them in the space.
Yeah. So there's some good ones. And then if you look at Peter McCullough's protocol, it's with bromelain, natokinase, and there's one other product. We use Artiracil in clinic. Artiracil is a great product, a very clean manufacturer. And that's also, again, supporting the blood vessels, supporting, and then meditation. You know, like Joe Dispenza's work on the immune system and immune function in meditation, focusing on SERPINA5 as a peptide and it's supporting your body's natural immunity and increasing that immune status. So there's good research published now by Dr. I think it's Hanel Patel from Joe Dispenza's research, the Research Institute associated with them to look at immune function improvement. And, you know, in the midst of COVID, he had roomfuls of 2,000 people and no COVID outbreak. So this meditation process is very, very supportive. So that in addition, I use in my patients, or, you know, I will use balance their hormones, progesterone, especially perimenopause and menopause. It supports TH2 immunity. It can be beneficial. It's also neuroprotective. So you have that aspect. I use I'll use progesterone and or pregnenolone. I created a cream called Balance Cream. So that's one way, or prescribing oral progesterone, adding the Mighty Maca, the Artiracil, and something that supports nitric oxide and an enzyme of some kind. So serrapeptase, neatokinase, those are beneficial, and just see what kind of results we get over time. So,
yeah. Well, you know, the meditation piece is so interesting, right? It's that whole area of how powerful our mind is when it comes. And I think we can kind of come full circle on this one, right? Because it's how powerful our mind, our emotions, our beliefs are in our ability to heal. And it's, which isn't to say that if you're sick, it's your fault and it's because you can believe you can get sick. Not in the least. There are real physical reasons, and we've talked about a lot of them in this episode about why people get sick, but then tapping into our own body's kind of systems. And we see it when people talk about placebo effect, right? I mean, a lot of people will say, oh, well, it's just a placebo. And I'm like, oh my God, like if it's a placebo, that means something really amazing is happening actually. Because if you believe that something, just believing something's going to work for you, if that can initiate those cascades in your system to actually physiologically create an effect, like that's where the magic lies.
I agree.
Yeah.
And it's again, the internal work, it can't be separate from external work. And I had another beautiful patient who was in for a follow-up yesterday, and she'd been dealing with elevated pancreatic enzymes, amylase, lipase. I mean, she's great. You know, she's at her ideal body weight. There's no reason for this increase in pancreatic enzymes. And then we, you know, look for trying to rule out type 1 diabetes. Her hemoglobin and glucose, her hemoglobin A1C and glucose are great, fine. The antibodies, we look at GAD antibodies and IA2 antibodies, looking at pancreatic for autoimmune pancreatic issues. And so one was somewhat elevated. And when I see an autoimmune disease, though, it's like, okay, is there something, there's an energetic component oftentimes, not all the time, but that I can detect, but there's an energetic component. So when I saw these antibodies and pancreatitis, and that pancreas holds the energy of guilt, right? Mm-hmm. According to ancient wisdom, and these are from different ancient traditional healers from around the world, Indonesia and Native America and Brazil, the people that I've spoke with, it seems to be consistent that the pancreas holds the energy of guilt. So I said, is there something, you know, about guilt or shame or something that you have that you've been dealing with? And she's like, oh my God, that makes perfect sense. Like for her, that made perfect sense. So there's something there that she has that her body is fighting herself with. And as much as I'm, you know, we'll do everything from our medical standpoint to help support the pancreas and decrease those enzymes and improve her immune system. But there's the energetic work that's all her, that she has to do.
Wow. That's really powerful. Yeah. It's pancreas is guilt, and then liver is anger, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And lungs are grief.
Lungs are grief. Kidneys, fear. Breast are relationships.
Yeah. Well, I think on that note, we can probably bring this interview to a close. I think this has been a beautiful conversation. We've been to lots of unexpected places.
It's been fun talking with you, Natalie. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Likewise. And you always, I'm so grateful for your work. So let's tell people where to find you and how to find all the things. We'll have a link in the show notes about where to find your beautiful, you've got some amazing products, a couple of really good books. So let's let people know where to find you and your work. And I know you have a show yourself.
Yes, thank you. So easy to find. So dranna.com, dranna.com. So that's my website. A lot of great information there. And actually, if you go to dranna.com/ask Dr. Anna. So dranna.com/ask Dr. Anna. You can actually ask my AI clone anything. It's fun. It's in beta. So you guys can just play with it based on things that I've interviewed and written and published and all that stuff. So it's based, answers based on my work. Anyway, so it's so fun. I'm just playing with that. Natalie, you got to play with that.
That's and super fun.
Instagram is at The Girlfriend Doctor. So, and social media on Facebook at The Girlfriend Doctor. I have great online communities and I welcome you to join me. Thank you again for having me, Natalie. Thanks.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure as always.
Before we wrap up today's episode, I'd love to invite you to join my Biohacking Superhuman Performance community, aka the BSP community. This is a place where we dive deeper into longevity science, peptides, and bioregulators. If you're looking to get into the nitty-gritty on these larger topics, this is the place for you. Plus, we hold weekly Q&A sessions, either with myself or with special guests for live interviews for you to join, and you can ask questions to the community for everyone to answer along with myself. It's an amazing community. If you want to join, head over to natnidham.com/BSP-community to join or find the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for your continued support and for tuning into today's episode. I wish you all the best this week in your biohacking superhuman performance.
Thanks so much for joining me on this episode of the Biohacking Superhuman Performance Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please remember to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes because that's what helps us to be heard and to be seen. If you'd like to connect with me directly, or if you'd like to leave any comments, or if you have any questions about this episode, please reach out to me directly through my website, natnidham.com. And of course, if you're not already a member of the Biohacking Superhuman Performance community on Facebook, that's where you'll find me every day. It's a short application. Just answer a couple of questions and you're in and interfacing with other amazing biohackers. Thanks again, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode.